The Space God Memoirs. Season 2, Episode 4. I was surrounded in swirling masses of blue and white, my skin covered in a layer of wetness, my nostrils inhaling a clean, sugary aroma. I walked ever forward, my vision obscured by a haze, my feet touching down on hard-packed flagstones below. Ahead, I could barely make out the white robes of Zerathra, who led the way as we continued to walk, nearly blind, through the last of the low-lying cloud. Hours ago, a Nyar cube shuttle had flown us across miles of crystal-covered terrain, over an entire continent of Shivnar, before finally depositing us at the entrance to an obscure mountain trail, marked with two weather-worn standing stones. Together, we made our way down the winding pass. After several hours of tedious foot travel, we finally began descending the slopes into a wide valley, which took us right through the aforementioned blue-white cloud. I briefly wondered what in the green ocean I was doing. I had agreed to join these people. These Nyar. These psychic space weirdos with their cosmic magic. They didn't seem like bad people. But I also didn't have near enough info on them to know. Sure as scrag I wasn't on their level. These enlightened folks with their genius intellects, lofty morals, and tech so good it looked like wizardry. But I guess I hadn't had much choice in the matter. The space gods wanted me in their club, and saying no wasn't exactly an option. So I figured I'd at least get the most out of this, see what they had to offer. I tossed the doubts out of my mind, instead focusing on Zerathra's pretty heels walking ahead of me. At least Z was pleasant to be around. Moments after that, I felt the caress of sunlight upon my cheek. We stepped out of the cloud as quickly as we had entered it, and before me unfolded a mountain veil. The cool, moist wind of Shivnar blew through my hair. My nose was filled with the clean aroma of this stony world. I stood beneath its lavender skies and took in a hearty breath. A long stairway, hewn from the rock, descended down to a valley floor some 300 meters below. There, a small forest of trees stood green, their shapes symmetrical, their arrangements curiously deliberate. Paths between the trees were bordered by lush, well-tended gardens. At intervals between them grew clusters of white crystals, rising up above the canopy. At the valley's center rose an enormous tree, its crystalline branches spreading outward, its leaves and bark all translucent and clear, like some delicate piece of art, though I couldn't help but think of it as alive. Even from this distance, the tree radiated, casting an inner light across the length of the veil. Zerathra turned to face me, clad in her elegant white robe, a silver circlet across her forehead. Though her clothing was modest, I marveled at how Shivnar's lighting brought out the shades of her blue skin, or highlighted the spiraling white patterns that ran across her flesh and under the folds of her robe. I didn't say anything, of course. I tried not to even think about it for too long, because I knew she could read minds, at least sometimes, and I didn't want to come off as a creep. So, my first lesson, eh? I began, tossing up my standard grin.
Your first initiation.
Whew, sounds special.
It is,
she nodded.
You have agreed to be part of the Nyar. Thus, you will learn to see reality as we see it.
And what does that mean?
The Atra, witnessing it for yourself, is the first step to realizing a greater reality, to knowing yourself and the universe you dwell in.
Yeah, that stuff. Sevaharthas, the council, talked about it. Seemed important, but I'm scragged if I know what it really is.
It is a difficult concept to elucidate by talk alone.
But here we are talking about it.
Whatever it is, I get to this the reason why you and the Ver are fighting, and why they've been scragging with Aruvis this whole time. Yes, you seem to have some understanding of the Atra after all. Go on. Basically, it's this, magic, particle that isn't exactly physical, but is sorta behind everything real. Zerathra nodded, ever so slightly. And this Atra stuff is harvested from people. The Atra is everywhere. It is innate to the basic foundation of the universe, within chemical reactions and natural phenomena. It is contained in all life forms, and produced most efficiently by sentient beings who channel it via their thoughts, emotions, and beliefs.
Zerathra gestured for me to follow. I kept close behind, taking one step at a time down into the valley itself. Soon we were walking the stone-paved paths that ran in concentric circular patterns between the great trees. As we walked in silence, I beheld alabaster statues of calm-faced mystics, surrounded by rows of blossoming flowers and hedges grown in perfect symmetry. The sound of bubbling streams caressed my ears, the water gurgling from unseen sources into white-rimmed pools.
So, if the Atra is everywhere, in everybody, why all the effort to get it?
I asked as we strolled along.
It may be present in all things, but once you learn to consciously utilize it, the Atra is the key to awakening your full potential.
Like magic superpowers.
With a proper flow of Atra in your system, lifespans are longer and healthier. Wounds are healed with greater ease. Thoughts have heightened clarity. And by mastering its use, you can alter your physical form, interact with objects at a distance, and access abilities that farmworlders would dub magical. Yet they are wholly natural.
Even back on Aruvis, we had some scions, mind readers and whatnot. They were using the Atra?
In limited ways, yes. All beings, even those on a farm world, have access to the Atra, and possess an innate ability to use it.
Zerathra gestured to the plants all around us, growing in their varied blooms.
Without Atra, life would not exist. These plants would not grow. The universe would be a dead, sterile place. If you look back at your life, I am certain there were times that you as well were able to tap into your own Atra and go beyond your ordinary abilities.
I nodded, thinking back in my moments in the Tower of Trials, enduring my journeys across Aruvis. All those times I'd been able to evade, hide from, or get lucky hits on opponents stronger, faster, and more skilled than I'd ever been. Maybe that was my Atra at work. Several minutes of travel took us to the base of that titanic gemstone tree, whose translucent trunk rose like a tower from the valley floor. Zerathra paused, gazing up at it.
Of course, the body you utilized on that farm world was designed with certain limitations. Genetically, the bodies of most farmworlders are incapable of channeling and holding more Atra than is needed to keep them alive. Nyar bodies, such as your own, do not carry such limitations. Your body is designed to acquire, hold, and utilize Atra, as is natural.
Ooh, pretty cool. So basically I got an upgrade.
The first of many. As you grow among the Nyar and evolve your awareness, you will find your ability to use the Atra growing alongside you. As well, there will be many more aspects of the Atra you will eventually learn about. Its uses in technology, how to focus it, how it affects consciousness, and more. Yet, I know that there are only so many abstractions one can handle at a time. Other lessons will have to wait. For now, we shall have a bit of practical experience.
Zerathra bid me to follow as she strolled deeper into the gardens. Soon we were both standing a few feet away from that translucent tree. There was a high-pitched hum from it as it continued to glow.
Come forward, Kef. Touch it.
Oh, how I had yearned for her to say that to me. But context. She meant the tree, of course. I approached it, stepping beside Zerathra. I touched the surface of the crystal tree, warm like a person's flesh. There was an immediate surge of energy, a vibration running into my palms and then up my arms. It continued into my chest, spiraling into a point just behind my sternum, where I could feel it pulsing and surging. It was a single ecstatic moment, like an orgasm of the spirit,
my vision filled with light, my senses overwhelmed by rapturous pleasure. It soon subsided, leaving me with a tingle running across the surface of my skin and a warmth in my heart. The Atra. That is your first substantial dose of it. That touch of Atra should be enough to gradually awaken your natural gifts.
Like those powers you mentioned?
We all have our latent talents, asleep within our psyches, dormant for many lifetimes, abilities learned in distant ages long forgotten. Yet the touch of Atra can be enough to bring them to the surface.
Looking forward to it. I wonder what I'll get.
Feel your body, she continued. Sense the Atra within it, flowing along your energy centers, inundating your cells, awakening your inner faculties. When I focused, it did feel different. The currents of subtle air running over my skin and a tingle beyond them. When I closed my eyes, there was a distinct connection to my body that was never there before. Heightened familiarity with every organ, every bone and muscle. The gardens, too, were different. The world brimmed with impossible color. The plants having hundreds of hues all blended perfectly together. The shades of greens and purples and reds so vibrant and resplendent. With additional colors I didn't even have names for.
Whoa, I thought.
Now close your eyes, said Zerathra, her voice soft. Take a deep breath and shift your focus to the spot between your eyes, about an inch above your nose.
I did so, angling my closed eyes upward. Having practiced breathing exercises before, this wasn't that weird to me.
Let your gaze linger there, with your eyes remaining closed. Observe what you see and go with it.
What did I see? Darkness, obviously. My eyes were closed, after all. But when I really focused, really looked, it wasn't just darkness.
The faint outlines of form and color drifted, indistinct behind my eyelids, mere blotches of light amid the dark, mostly red. I did as Z said and observed them. At first, nothing in particular happened, just a slight shifting of the colors, from red to orange, then into a deep yellow. I continued to stare, my eyes closed tight. There was a subtle pulse in that spot above and between the eyes, where I was focusing. The masses of colored light began morphing into spiraling patterns of green, then blue, a deeper blue, followed by purple. The pulsing in my head continued to intensify, beating like a second heart. Faster and faster, the lights in the darkness growing brighter and more distinct. A sound in my inner ears like glass cracking. A warmth spreading across my face and forehead. Then I could see, though my eyes remained closed. Every plant was outlined in a silhouette of light, aglow with the color of pure Atra. It flowed along the tree, into its leaves, the flowers below, their roots. It gathered in the cool ground below, waiting to emerge, and drifted in particles through the seemingly empty air. I raised my own hand up and beheld the Atra, flowing like a river through me. When I looked down, my body was aglow with it, the greater part cycling through the center of my chest and spinning like some fiery wheel. I stood there for a good deal of time, just absorbing it all, my close-eyed gaze going from object to object, enthralled by my new reality. And when I looked out at Zerathra, who stood watching over me, she was different too. She was a being of light, the Atra radiating from every inch of her. She looked like some mythical goddess, all aglow in sanctified energy, a sky blue halo crowning her head, where the Atra spun in an intricate weave. I was pulled towards her, every instinct wanting to touch her, to grasp that radiance. I reached out a hand, and Zerathra put out her own. Our hands met, and the streams of our Atra intertwined, glowing brighter as they coalesced into a ball of light that floated between our palms. Z stepped backward, but that light ball remained, hovering in the air, our combined Atra spinning together like a planet in orbit. I went to grasp it between my fingers. When I touched the orb, it vanished. A surge of tingling energy zipped up my hand, my arms, and then my spine, into my head. A kaleidoscope of swirling lights spun through my vision. Tears began to flow. I rubbed them away, reactively opening my eyes. The world became normal. The glow of the Atra concealed beneath the veneer of physicality. I took in a deep breath and let out a sigh, releasing a surprised chuckle in the process. Feeling both exhilarated and exhausted, I stepped back and sat down on the soft ground. This felt like the start of something truly amazing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Space God Memoirs. Space God is written, performed, and produced by A.M. Arctos. Original musical score by Alpha Colors. Various sound effects created by Industrial Strength Records Incorporated. Please support this podcast by following, rating, and sharing on your favorite social media site. For further info on Space God, its creator, and various other opinions, musings, and thoughts, go to www.spacegodmemoirs.com or follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. If you enjoyed the Space God Memoirs, please consider supporting us by becoming a patron. Check out the Patreon link in our description to learn more.